begin. We're up to Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Birchas Hashem Hi Sashir, V'lo Yosif Etzev Ima. The blessing of Hashem is what brings wealth. It itself brings wealth. V'lo Yosif Etzev Ima, and it will not add. The wealth will not add sadness with it. What does this mean? Pasuk Chaf Beis in the Mitzvah of David. Birchas Hashem Habirocha. Shenoisin Hashem Hi Ma'asheres. The blessing of Hashem is what brings wealth. Esa Adam. It's Hashem's bracha. A person should not make a mistake and think, Koichi v'oitzem yodi osali esachayim hazeh. That's not the true source of success. It's the success comes from Hashem's blessing. V'ma bracha ha-hu lo yitztarech lo-hoisif od yitzavon. A person has true blessing. It does not come with sadness. There's no daigus. He does not have to worry. Sadness, the yigia laharbos hoin, it's not necessary for him to add sadness and effort laharbos hoin to add wealth. Ki yigia dailo beharbrocha haba. Now this means we have a general rule of misha yesh loimone reitzem masayin. A person has 100, he wants 200. If you have 200, you want 400. A person is never satisfied. If a person is never satisfied, that is a sign that it's not a bracha that has come from Hashem. Because the bracha that has come, a bracha person is merits to have success, wealth, and blessing. That is truly a gift directly from Hashem. There is satisfaction. There's no desire to accomplish more. That's what it says. That's how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk. It's an amazing Pshat in the Pasuk. He had dialogue with Habracha Haba. He has no. We go into the second paragraph of this. It says, "V'lo yitzdarich lahosif od yitzavon v'yigia." He does not need to add more sadness and toil. L'harbos home to increase more wealth. It is sufficient with the bracha that has come. Haba, Dr. Friedman, I think the battery has run out. I apologize for troubling you. What? Thank you very, very much. So this is a very fascinating pshat. Again, Chazal, Mishi, Yesh Leimon, Reitzim, Mosayim. So we, if not for this pasuk, we would, at least according to the parish of the Mitzudas, we interpret this to mean that a person that has a blessing with Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is satisfied and does not need to add more to his wealth. And that's what the V'lo Yosif. He does not need to add more etzev, ima, sadness. When the person works, it doesn't necessarily mean sadness, it means toil. Toil and effort to achieve more. He is satisfied. Rashi pasuk of beis, birchas shem hi sa'ashir b'lo yosef etzev ima, ein tzach lehesyagir lehashir bo, dai b'brocha ma'ashu mevarcho. He does not need to add more, same exact idea as what the Mitzvah says. He does not need to trouble himself to add to the blessing. It's sufficient with what he has been blessed with, and that is enough for the person. Now, Chazal, there's a few midrashim which focus on this medrash. Okay, number one is this pasuk is a very important makor for the halacha that there is no avelus on Shabbos. Shabbos suspends avelus. Okay, there is avelus from Shabbat Sinah. But Dvarm Shebegolus Shebefarhesya, there is no Avelus, and this comes, that halacha is derived from this very pasuk. I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's not a Gemara, it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. Birchas Hashem Hi Sashir Zo HaShabbos. This pasuk, this expression refers to Shabbos Kodesh. Because the pasuk says, "Vayivarech Elokim es yom hashvi vayikadesh oso." Hashem has blessed Shabbos. Zeh birchas Shabbos. V'lo yosef etzev ima. Thank you very much. V'lo yosef etzev ima zeh ha'evel. This refers to av sadness. Sadness is avelus. Netzav hamelech al. No, we have the word netzav in reference to David. David was sad on the death of his son Avshalom. Netzav HaMelech al Beno, and here the Gemara learns, we combine these two psukim together, these two things, that on Shabbos is the blessing of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to continue the Yosef, to continue the Avelus from the previous day. Shabbos suspends Avelus. Okay, that's one point. He said another Yisoid from this pasuk. We attribute this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was busy with Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzos, did not have time to earn a Parnasa, and yet was the wealthiest member of Klal Yisrael. He was blessed with the Pseiles of the Luchos. You tell me Korach was wealthier? Korach, okay, Korach outdid Moshe, that's why he had a bigger following than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu was blessed with the psoilas of the Luchos. Hashem said to Moshe, psol lucha, hapsoilas shalucha. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, he quarried the stones for the Luchos, and the stones were hollow. The oisios were etched, went through from one end to the other end. What happened to that egg, that the psoilas? Moshe Rabbeinu was given to him as a gift, and from that he was able to make haparnosa to sell it and sustain himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a unique position. He was able to tell Klal Yisrael, what? What?
Who bought it?
Who bought it? I guess people bought it. People wanted it. Could you imagine today if we had a piece of the Luchos, it would be priceless. You couldn't put a price on the Pseiles of the Luchos. Yeah. Okay, so we have here, so the Chazal said, where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? Moshe Rabbeinu became extremely wealthy from the sapirin, from the sapphire stones that were used for the Luchos, the Luchos Shnios. The Luchos Rishonis came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem actually provided the stone. The Luchos Shnios, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Psol Lucha. I'm going to do the writing, but you're going to have to provide the stone. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu get these expensive stones? So we would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him where to go. Hashem says, you go, Hashem gave him directions. Go here, go there, until you'll find it. And if not for Hashem telling Moshe where to go, Moshe would not be able to discover these extremely valuable stones, because if they were easily available, everyone would have it. Only Moshe knew the secret as to where they were. So Moshe had to trouble himself. Moshe had to be miyageya, had to toil, to travel a great distance and to quarry the stones with tools, implements, and then schlep them back home or to Har Sinai, where Hashem would actually write the Aseres Adibros on the Luchos. So from this Medrash Chazal learned that no, the Hashkocha Pratis, the sapphire stones were found in the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. It just so happened that the location where Moshe Rabbeinu pitched his tent in the desert, exactly in that spot, underneath Moshe's tent, was the sapphire stones. The Lo Yosef.
He hid them?
No,
mother-in-law.
V'lo Yosef etzevimo. Moshe Rabbeinu did not need to trouble himself to locate the stones. They were right there. No person, even if a person is blessed with wealth, Hashem gives him a brach, but he still has to go out and be miyageya, has to toil, has to work to succeed. That's a tremendous bracha. But that this, you don't even have to work. The money just comes to you. That's an extra special bracha, and that is something that only Moshe Rabbeinu was zocheh to. And that's what it says. The medrash, let me read the entire medrash. This medrash appears in the Tanchuma. It's Tanchuma. Zo birchas Moshe shamar lo kadosh baruch hu. Kadosh baruch hu said psol lecha shnei luchos avonim. The focus is psol lecha. What's the lecha? Veher lo kadosh baruch hu. Machzov shel sanpirion. That's a very expensive stone, a quarry of a very expensive stone. Soch oholoi. The stone was in his own tent. He did not need to go through the effort of transporting it. And that's what the pasuk concludes, Lo Yosef etzev imo. The Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu psol lucha psoila shalucha. You can keep the psoilas after I etch the words of the Aseres Hadibros into the Luchos, you can keep the Psoilas, the leftovers. When we show him from that, Nasen Melech, from that Moshe became extremely wealthy, like a king. Nikan at Lomid, the Tanchuma concludes, from here you learn, Shekol ho'isek ba'Torah, Parnesosa min ha'Torah, Umis Asher umatzliach, he becomes successful. Okay, and then it goes on, and not only that, V'lo Yosef etzev imo. I'm sorry. I'm jumping around in the Medrash. What does it mean? V'lo Yosef etzav ima shaloi nitztaer leilech l'makoyim acher ela mitoch oholo zimein lo hakadosh baruch hu. Moshe did not need to go through the effort of transporting the Sanpirion. They were available for him in the tent alone. And this, the Tanhumet says, is a mashal for all Talmidei Chachamim, that if they merit the blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Birchas Hashem, Hisa Asher, it will also come with this other theme that it will come easy. So if we combine what Rashi and the Mitzvah says with the Medrash, there are two blessings in this pasuk. Number one, the blessing itself is satisfying. A person will not have a desire for more. Unlike wealth that comes through a person's own success, that's not true when it comes from blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And secondly, a person will, even the wealth and the success that he does have, will not require him to lose sleep, will not require him to sacrifice his health or his peace of mind. It will come to him easily. Now, obviously, we don't live in a world, we live in a world of very great hestaponim. We only have to read the news and see what's going on. We'll live in the ultimate hestaponim, v'yanochi haster astaponai. So when we read midrashim like this, obviously, we have to realize that it's all subject to interpretation, time and place, and special individuals.
Because you could argue the opposite, that someone who amasses a fortune through his own labor, achievement, gets productive satisfaction from that, as opposed to somebody who, let's say, inherits wealth and comes to the...
He has no... He's sad. He's saying that okay, but you see, saying just the opposite.
Inherited. That's saying it's inherited.
He's saying it's just the opposite. He's saying v'lo yosef. He also says v'lo yosef. It will not add. It will not add sadness ima. Marbe nechasim, marbe daiga. The more you have, the more you're worried about. Right? So there's daiga. So here it says when the bracha comes to the Baruch Hu, v'lo yosef etzav ima. There's no daiga. Marbe nechasim without the daiga. Okay. Over here we're dealing with supernatural bracha. You don't see people. Even today, you see people that are extremely wealthy. You don't see them. You may see people today that have the first half of the pasuk, Baruch Hashem Hisashir, but you don't see it all today. At least not that I know of. People that are zeicha to the second half of the bracha, Lo Yosef Etzev Ima. People that are very wealthy, you talk to them when they interviewed. They tell you that they have a lot of problems and they have a lot of daigas, and no one has it easy. So. This over here is a supernatural blessing. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk, okay, one other thing, okay, before we go further, a couple of other short things. Also, Chazal Darsh in this pasuk reference to the Mon. The Mon was a time when Klal Yisrael Mensch was Zeuche to actually, this is the fulfillment of this pasuk in its entirety. There was the Berchas Hashem Hisashir. Everyone in Klal Yisrael had what to eat. They were wealthy. Ezer Oshir Hasomech Bechelkoi. Everyone had Parnasa for the day. They wake up in the morning, v'lo yosef etzav ima. They didn't have to travel to get the mon. The mon came to their front door. The people that did not, the mon did not come to the front door, they were not zecha to the bracha of Hashem. They, due to their sins, they had to travel into the field to find the blessing. But people that were tzaddikim, the mon fell on their front door. There was no etzav, no toil, no labor that was necessary to retrieve the mon. Okay, another chazal is reference to Darshan. This in reference to Adam Harishain. And this is very interesting. This is very interesting chazal to understand what this means, to apply the Bizman Hazeh, that Adam Harishain sinned the Erev Shabbos. Immediately after his sin, Hashem was Goyzer Misa. And the Torah does not say how long Adam was meant to live. So we interpret this to mean, listen, Hashem, Adam was meant to live forever. Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. It was nigzar upon him and Chava Misa. Okay, so they'll live for 1,000 years. That's the way the average person interprets the psukim in the Torah. According to the Medrash, that's not the pshat. It was meant that he should die on that very day. Adam, Hashem created you. You were born. It's day 6. And you have sinned. So, you chayiv Misa. You violated the command of Hashem. You're going to die today. Today on Yom HaShishi. He had a good life. What more could you expect? You lived one day in this world. You were zeicha to the blessing of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You had it all. You experienced Gan Eden. You sinned, so you were driven out. Now you're going to die. Adam Arishon on that very day, it seems, had children. Maybe he had children on that very day. Did he have a Kai and Hevel on that day? Okay, let's not get into that. So maybe he already left over children. They did not sin. So there is some Chazal they had already on that day. Bobayom, they had children, Kai and Hevel. So Kai and Hevel were born. So Adam, very good, you fulfilled your role in this world. You have sinned. It's time for you to die. Your children, they did not sin. They're innocent. So even though it's true that there's a Gzer of Misa in the world, but they'll live for 1,000 years. But you have to die today. And indeed, this was the plan. However, it was Erev Shabbos. And Shabbos itself came to the rescue. The Zuchus of Shabbos is what prolonged Adam Harishon's life for 930 years. What? Because Shabbos intervened. Shabbos intervened since it was Erev Shabbos when he sinned. So it's already Tosfos Shabbos. So the Zuchus, the Barucha of Shabbos is Moisif Chaim. That's what it says in the Medrash. Let me read you the Medrash. Now you can apply that today. Let's go take a look.
We don't do that by Avelis.
Avelis suspends. Shabbos, well, that was the previous Chazal. Previous Chazal says that it doesn't terminate. It suspends in Chanan. It suspends Avelis. But here the Chazal says that Adam Arishon was meant to die bo bayom. It was Erev Shabbos. Shabbos intervened. And Shabbos, the bracha of Shabbos let him live for another 930 years. What is the application for us, Bizman Hazeh? That in the Zuchus of Shmir Shabbos, we live long. Shabbos, a person appreciates the Kiddush of Shabbos. A person experiences Shabbos the way he should. Shabbos itself has the koyach of Arichas Yomim. And it's definitely true. It's definitely true. We see it. Al pi derech hateva, a person in a frame of mind of Kiddush of Shabbos, it completely changes his whole approach to life. And he's zoicha to Arichas Yomim. Let me read you the words of the Medrash. Dover acher, b'shah shechata Adam, niskarish, the time that Adam Arishon sinned, niskarish migadin, he was driven from migadin and bobim on that every day. Ulamacha Barosh Hashana Shechal B'Shabbos Samcha Kaparasai. On the very next day, which according to this Medrash was Rosh Hashanah, we assume that Yom Shishi was Rosh Hashanah, but in this Medrash it says that the next day, the conflicting Midrashim, that it was the second day of creation was Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe 2 days
Rosh Hashanah. The Itaka say that. Some indeed say that. There are 2 days Rosh Hashanah because of this reason. So Shabbat HaShabbos V'limde Olav Zuchus. It was Malame Tzchus, and the Medrash ties in this very pasuk, Birchas Hashem Hi Sashir. The blessing of Hashem grants wealth. What does this mean? What's the Birchas Hashem? Zo Hashabbos. What does it mean, Ma'asheres? Shemreha? It means that it guards, it makes wealthy those who observe it. And what is the Oysher? The Oysher is, Lo Yosef Etzev Ima. Etzev means death. Etzev is a code word for death. Sadness. The ultimate sadness is death in this world. And there will no longer be sadness. Shabbos came to the rescue and gave him a long life. Okay, so like I said, it's an amazing yisod. We can learn from this yisod that a secret to Arichas Yomim is proper observance of Shabbos Kodesh. Just as Shabbos is the one that was Moisef for Adam Harisha 930 years, likewise he can do the same for us on our level as well. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, new theme. Kischoik Kesil Asoyz Zima. Kischoik Lksil Asoyz. Like Schoik is to a Kesil Asoyz Zima. So too does he do Zima. Zima here means harm. Zima means Maisahara. Rav Meir, could you maybe turn to the machine? Maybe just try that technique again. Can you maybe turn all the way? Like the mom should turn to the wall. Yeah. Okay. Yeshakoyach. Kischoik l'ksil. Now, schoik means a joke. A joke. It's very easy in life to make jokes. Just like a fool, and for a fool, a non-serious person, it's even easier. So just like it's easy for a fool to make jokes, aso zima, that's how easy it is for a fool to do averos. Zima here in this pasuk means averos. The chokhma, likewise, a person who is wise, it's easy, it's a schok. It's an easy thing for him, le'ish tavuna, for a wise man to come l'idei chokhma. Let's see the Mitzvah's more precise translation. Pasuk Chav Gimel, kischoik mo haschoik hu davar nokel. Just like jokes are easy. Cain, likewise, Nogel Xil, it is easy for the Xila Soizima to do harm, to do averos. Uchimochain, likewise, Nogel Ishtavun, it's easy for a wise man, La Sos, to do Dvar Chachma, to do wise deeds. Okay, so you have to read the Pasuk, the words of the Pasuk, a little bit out of order. It's Choyk Lexil Asozima, it's Asozima, it's easy to do Zima for Xil, like it's easy for him to do Choyk. And now we have to repeat the theme of Choyk a second time in the second if of the Pasuk, and it's easy for a Ish Tevuna, for a wise man, Chachma, to do things of wisdom. Rashi, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Kishoik Lexil Asozima, Atzas Chatoim. What is the translation of Zima? Zima means the counsel of the sinners. The Chachma, Kishoik, it's easy to do Chachma, like a Schok, L'ishtavuna, Kloima, Kal, Hibien of Lasos, it's easy for a wise man to do things of wisdom.
Okay. So Zima, according to Rashi, is
Eitza means counsel. Keitza. Okay. Eitza, counsel. So literally means counsel, but in the context, it means counsel of wickedness, of chet. Right. Sometimes zima can mean good things. In the beginning of the Sefer Mishnah, we had zima in the positive sense to be mekayim the Torah. Okay. Pasuk Chav Dalid. Megoras Rasha hi sivo ena. The fear of the Rasha is what comes upon him. V'savas tzadikim yitain, and the desire of the righteous, Hashem grants. Yitain is the one that has the power to grant a request, will do so. Who is the one that has the power to grant the person's request? None other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzudos Pasuk Chof Dalid, Migoras Mehadova, from the matter Asher Yifchat HaRasha, which the Rasha is afraid of, he Sovar Elof, it's exactly what comes upon him. V'Adover HaToiv Asher Yisavu LaHatzadik, the good thing that the Tzadik desires, Yitain Lo, will be granted to him. Who will grant it to him? Me, Shebiyod Elitain, V'Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Migoras Rasha, Mashu Yor Yavar Lo, and Rashi gives an example. What is the example? The Dar HaFloga. Dar HaFloga, why did they build the Migdal Bavel? Because Penya Futsu B'chol Aretz, they were afraid that they would be dispersed. They were afraid that Kadosh Baruch Hu would scatter them. And indeed, what happened? What was the punishment to the Dor HaFloga? That's exactly what happened. They would scatter. Kadosh Baruch Hu changed their languages, and they were scattered throughout the entire earth. So exactly what they were afraid would happen to them came upon them. One more time, in Rashi, Mashu Yara Yavay Lo, for example, Dor HaFloga, Yaru, they were afraid, the Yamru, Pen Nofutz, maybe Hashem will disperse us over the entire earth. The Seifa, and that's exactly what happened to them, because if it says, Vayofes Hashem HaSam, Nisham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, scatter them from there by changing their languages. The Tzavas Tzadikim, Yitain Mish Shabiyod Lidna, HaKadosh, the one that has the power to give, will give to the Tzadik his desires. Now there are a couple of Midrashim on this Pasuk. This refers to the end of the Pasuk, at least refers to the Yaakov and Rachel. The Savas Sadikim Yitain, Kadosh Baruch Hu granted Yaakov and Rachel their request to have children. Yaakov and Rachel the Savas Sadikim, I'm not really sure what this means. The rest of Masha. Okay, they darish this in reference. They darish this in reference to Yaakov and Esau, but I don't understand what it says, so we'll leave it out. Okay, I'm sorry I mentioned that.
It's interesting the way he phrases it. The Megaris Hashem Yisaboena, as if it would come of its own, whereas Davas Tadikim Yitain, he will give it to him. It's a more active participation.
Direct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for the Hashem. They're afraid of that, and that's what they get. It automatically comes to them.
Automatically, but he's saying it's more direct. But by a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly gives blessing to a tzaddik. By a rasha, it's just mimela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to even come near the rasha. It happens mimela by itself. It comes upon them, even through their own means. They bring it upon them in Echanami. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's true. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Ka'avor Sufa V'ein Rasha. the tzaddik yisoid elam, famous pasuk. When the sufa means the whirlwind, when it passes, you after the storm is over, guess what? The ain rasha, the rasha is gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the wicked people. But the tzaddikim, they remain forever, and in fact, they are the foundation of the world. Mitzudas pasuk of hey, kavor sufa miyad kasher yavar sufa, when this world, when the storm is over, the Rasha has been cut off. The Einenu no longer is in existence. The Tzaddik is comparable to the foundation of the world. It does not move from its place. The Medrash Rabbah very, very simply interprets this in reference to the Dor HaMabel. Who is the Tzaddik? The Noyach Ish Tzaddik. Tam Hoya Bidarosav Noyach Ishdi Tzaddik. Who were the Rishoim? The Rishoim were the Dor HaMabel, the whole generation. So what here is the Mabel? The Mabel is the Sufa. Very interesting way to describe the Mabel. We don't call the Mabel a Sufa, but in this Medrash, the Medrash says the perfect term to describe the entire destruction that occurred was a Sufa, a whirlwind. A whirlwind means a moment of Shoah, of Chorban. And when it was over, after 1 year, when the world has subsided, was anyone left? No one was left. Kavar Sufa, when the whirlwind was over, the Ein Rasha. The Mabel, really, the little translation of the Mabel is the flood. That's just the first 40 days. Vayigbaru Hamayim. How long did the flood last? For 40 days, if I'm not mistaken. The rain, but also not only the rain, but also the Tehoim opened up, because the Shpeuch, he opened the Arubas HaShamayim, and also the Tehoim Rabbah, the depths, the waters from below also opened up. That was the Mabel. The Mabel was only 40 days, but yet the entire episode lasted for one complete year, for 365 days. So perhaps the Medrash is saying that in the big picture, it's the Sufa. The Sufa is the entire year from beginning to end. The Mabel was 40 days. There was collateral damage for the remainder of the year. When the entire episode was over, guess what? The Ein Rasha, all of the wicked people no longer existed. But the Tzaddik, Noach, the Noach Ish Tzaddik, he is the Yesoid Olam, he is the foundation of the world, he remains. Okay, now, just Derech Agav, why is Noach called a Tzaddik? Why is a Noach called a Tzaddik? So we mentioned this many times. There are two reasons why a person is called a Tzaddik in Tanakh. One is one who provides Parnasa. Tzaddik, we say the pasuk Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derecha v'chasid b'chol ma'asav. After we say the pasuk Poseh es yodecho ma'aspia l'chol chai rotzon. That pasuk is pasuk which refers to giving parnasa. And we say this, we mentioned this a couple of times. There are really three psukim. There's a set of three psukim. Ein echol elecho yisaberu v'ato yu Hashem nosein lohem es ochlam b'ito. You Hashem provide man with their food in the proper time. That's a pasuk of Parnasa. Then comes the main pasuk, Poseh Hasidach Masvil Chol Chai Ratzon. And then comes the third pasuk of Parnasa, Tzaddik Hashem B'chol Derochav V'chosid B'chol Masav. A tzaddik is someone who's mezen, who provides Parnasa to mankind. Yosef was called a tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, because Yosef was the one that provided Parnasa for the entire Egypt. He is the one that knew what to do. In his chus, Egypt was sustained, and the entire world for that matter. And Yosef also provided sustenance for his brothers during the years of famine. So Yosef is called a tzaddik. Hashem is a tzaddik, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Tzaddik is a Yisrael, that is just like going out tzaddik, it's tzaddik is a Yisrael.
Yeah.
That's
what it's possible. Yeah, it's a thing. It's possible.
That's a
goin. What do you mean, the goy, tzaddik,
goin? No, just like you say, Rav tzaddik, Rav goin, Rav goin, tzaddik is a title. Tzaddik is
so. Yeah, that's an expression, of course. That's where it comes from. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. But I just wanted to touch why, to say this idea. Why is, what does a person have to do to earn the title of tzaddik? Two things. Number one, as we see from Yosef, is to be someone who supports, someone who does chesed, gives tzedakah. Yosef fit that description to the T. Noach fit that description. Noach was the one that provided parnasa. He fed the animals for an entire year. Therefore, Noach is an ish tzaddik. Yosef was a Yosef at tzaddik. But there's another way the word tzaddik is used, and that's in reference to a person who is Omeid bin Nisayon, a person that is faced with a very great Nisayon, temptation, taiva, lust, whatever it may be, and is able to overcome the Nisayon, he earns the title of a tzaddik. Yosef had the Nisayon of Eshes Potiphar, he was able to overcome this Nisayon, and therefore he merited the title Yosef HaTzaddik. Now the point I want to make is, the two go together. What gives a person the ability to be Omeid bin Nisayon? A person is faced with a challenge, and he says, it's okay, I don't need to enjoy myself, I don't need to take what's not mine, I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh, and have a moon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is the other meaning of tzaddik. If the nature of a person is to be a giver, to be mazin, to provide someone else with parnasa, that means the person's entire essence is giving. When your whole essence is to give, and now you're faced with an nisayon where the essence of an nisayon is to take, person as a taiva, he comes in contact with an erva, like Yosef HaTzadik. So what it's, he wants to enjoy himself. He doesn't love the erva, he loves himself. He loves the experience. He wants to enjoy himself. But if you have trained yourself to be a person, but you're not concerned about yourself, you're concerned about giving to someone else, you're a giver, and you don't think about yourself, you now have the tool to be oimed in the nisayon, and not take this enjoyment for yourself, but follow Hashem's ratzon, and overcome the Yetzirah. So the two interpretations of tzaddik are not two separate interpretations. These two interpretations of tzaddik, they complement one another. Tzaddik again means to give, and a tzaddik means to be omeid bin nisayon. How does a person have the koyach to be omeid bin nisayon? The answer is, the nisayon is always, are you going to take for yourself? Are you going to take for yourself pleasure against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, if your entire life you've trained yourself to give, then it's not so hard in this instance when you have a taiva to take, to overlook that taiva and do Hashem's ratzon. So these two interpretations of tzaddik complement the two sides of the same coin. This type of person is the yesod olam. The entire world lives in his chus. Now there are many conflicting midrashim as to how many tzaddikim the world needs in order to survive. We have a legend that there are 36 tzaddikim, the love of lamed vav tzaddikim. Then we have another tradition, there's another chazal that says there are 30 tzaddikim. And okay, the other Ma'amar Chazal, I don't remember all the Ma'amar Chazal, but here we have another Ma'amar Chazal, which is part of that discussion. There's only one. The world will continue to exist in the schus of even one tzaddik, and that comes from this very pasuk, v'tzaddik, does not say tzaddikim, v'tzaddik is the yesoid olam. Yeah.
Maybe it takes 36 of them to make up one of the earlier tzaddikim.
Different levels, or different types of tzaddikim, yeah.
I was going to say, if you have somebody that sits and runs all day,
yeah,
rarely ever gets out, gives up himself.
Yes.
How does that?
It's a problem. The Gemara, this contrasts Abai and Arava. Abai and Arava, both descendants of Eli, and they had a curse; they would die young. And the Gemara says one of them died when he was 40 years old and the other died when he was 60 years old. And the Gemara says, why did the other one marry to live an additional 20 years? When they both of them, the Gemara says, should have died when they were 18 years old. Okay, that was the Klala. Descendants of Eseli would die by the time they were 18 years old, they already died. One lived to 40, one lived to 60. One lived to 40, the Gemara says, the Zchus of Torah. In the Zchus of Torah, he lived until the age of 40. And the other lived to the age of 60 because he had not just Torah, he had also the Zchus of Chesed. He was involved in Gemilas Chassadim, so that extended his life as well. Okay, we don't know what these things mean. We don't know what these things mean. Look at what happened yesterday. Dealing here with people that are Marbitze Torah, the Miyuchasim from the most Chashuv Mishpachas and Klal Yisrael, the Soloveitchik family, and something like this can happen. It's wearing talis and tefillin. It's like, have we ever seen in our lifetime such a degree of Anochi Haster Aster Panai? Everyone is making references to the Holocaust, that we haven't seen something. I mean, the Rahman al-Islam, there have been terrible terrorist attacks throughout the things that have happened. What happened in America Sarab was very similar. But I don't know. You're asking questions that there are no answers to. There are no answers to these questions. The tzaddik, yisoid elam, and the schus of these people, the world continues to exist. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk, Pasuk Chaf Vav. Kachoy meitz Like vinegar to teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy person to the person who has sent him to the Mishaleach. Now, according to Chazal, vinegar is they're conflicting. Gemara Chazal, vinegar is good for teeth, vinegar is not good for teeth. The Gemara talks about what?
You take an egg, it's all calcium,
yeah.
Put into vinegar,
yeah.
And after 2 days, the egg becomes rubber. All the calcium goes out.
Wow.
So try it, it's fun for the kids.
Take an egg and put in vinegar and turns
it. Put an egg into a cup of vinegar, and after 2 days, all you have is the rubbery skin on it. All the calcium is gone.
What, a raw egg, an egg in a shell, or you crack the egg open?
The shell is calcium.
You mean you keep the shell? You put an egg with the shell? The shell disappears. So we have conflicting Mamari Chazal. One of the Gemara in the Sugya of Refua, is a person allowed to drink vinegar on Shabbos? Why in the world would a person want to drink vinegar on Shabbos? Because the Gemara, it's good for your teeth. It's good for your teeth. So the Gemara says, well, Refua, are you allowed to take medicine on Shabbos? Absolutely not. There's an exception. If people don't, it's not obvious to someone that you're taking this food, this delicacy for refuah purposes. So if there are people out there in the world, there's a significant part of the population that likes to drink vinegar stam, and even though your kavod is only for refuah, I'm only drinking the vinegar because I want to heal my teeth, then you can drink vinegar on Shabbos because it's not obvious to all that you're taking it for refuah purposes. But if no one in their right mind would drink vinegar, the only reason why you would drink vinegar is for refuah, then you're not allowed to drink vinegar on Shabbos. Now what do we learn from that Gemara, Derech Agaf, that drinking vinegar or gargling vinegar is good for the teeth? The Gemara is the obvious kasha. What are you talking about? It's a Mefarish Apostolic in Mishle, where Mishle says, Kachoymeitz lashinayim, like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy person to his messenger, to his, the one who sends him. From the simul interpretation of the Pasuk, it's not a good thing. Right? That's the simul thing of the Pasuk, that it's not, just like everyone agrees that smoke is not good for the eyes, simply means that taking vinegar is not good. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So the Gemara says there are different types of vinegar. There is vinegar that comes from wine vinegar, and then there is different types of vinegar. Okay, so that's all we have to know, that some vinegars are good and some vinegars are not. I have it in the other set. I don't have it, but there are different types of vinegars, and that's how we reconcile this contradiction. Okay, so that's the different types of vinegar. Fine, that is the answer. Let's go here. The mitzvahs pasuk chavav. Just like vinegar causes harm to teeth, he relies upon him and he is lazy. Now the Mefarshim learn here a very powerful insight is, it's not just that he doesn't get the job done, he ruins it for you. Now you would think, if you have a lazy messenger, I send a very important package. I'm sending a package to the other end of the country, and I use a messenger that's not reliable. So what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is he doesn't do the job. It goes in the garbage. That's what a person. So therefore, you'll have to send it again. You wanted to send this package within 30 days. It did not arrive. So you'll have to send another package after 30 days. So whatever the story is. No, it's much worse than that. The messenger, who's lazy, will give the package to your competitor, will give the package to your enemy. The package will get into the wrong hands, and the person who gets your package will use it against you. So having a lazy messenger is not just the mission is not accomplished. The messenger will be mekalkel, just like vinegar is not parif. It's not parif. Vinegar causes harm to your teeth. Smoke is not parif. Smoke causes harm to your eyes. A lazy messenger will cause harm for the nishaleach. This reminds me of a story. This is a joke. It's not a good day to say jokes, but it's not really a full joke. There were two balabatim who took for themselves boys in learning for their daughters. Both of them were very wealthy. Both of them went out and made that. One was very wealthy, one was not so wealthy, and they both took for themselves young men for their daughters who were in learning. And they were sitting together years later, let's say 10 years later, they were sitting together at a bar, at some restaurant, and they were both complaining about their son-in-laws. And they were both complaining what a bunch of good-for-nothings they are. They don't make parnassa. They don't make parnassa. So I didn't say the story right. There were two wealthy people. One of them took for himself a boy, and he put the boy in his business. The other person took for himself a boy in learning. And the boy is in Kollel, sitting and steiging away for 10 years. Years later, they get together, these two people, these two friends, and the one that has the son-in-law, he's in Kollel for 10 years, who's steiging away and learning Yom Valayla. The father-in-law complains, you know, it's very good. It's very nice. He's a very big master, he's a Talmud Chacham. But you know, I have to support him, and it's not easy for me. I have to work very hard to support him, to support his family. So the Gvir, the multi-billionaire who took for himself a boy and put the boy into business, says, you have nothing to complain about. I didn't want to support a boy in learning, even though I have billions in the bank. So I took a boy who would go into the business. I took him to the business, and you know what he did to the business? He destroyed the business. Because of him, I lost hundreds of millions of dollars. So who should complain? You, who paid over 10 years, so you paid $100,000 to support him. You paid out, and what do you have? You have a boy who's sitting and learning. He's a master, he's a Talmud Chacham. You have a beautiful family. I took a boy into my business. He doesn't have the learning, because he's not Isaac in learning, and instead, what did he do? Because of him, I lost hundreds of millions of dollars because he destroyed my business. So that's what it says here in this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kichaymitz l'shenayim b'chosh l'enayim kein he'otzel l'sholchav." Be happy if it doesn't. You don't ruin it. You don't ruin it. It shouldn't. At least the person is lazy. So no. At least the mission has not been accomplished. As long as he was not mekalkel in your mission. This past Sunday, I heard two people talking to each other, and one person was telling the other person that, you know, I know your son. Your son is a Talmud in this yeshiva, and unbelievable. He's an incredible masman. He's a wonderful boy. He's probably buttering him up for a shidduch. He probably wants him for his daughter. So he said to him, how are you zoicha to such a thing? I know you. He was like insulting him. I know you from your youth. Can you imagine? I was listening to this conversation. It was an earshot of me. How are you zoicha to have such a son, to be such a masmit? So he said to me, you know, I have no idea. But one thing, I'm happy. At least I didn't ruin it. I didn't ruin him. At least, Baruch Hashem, I don't take credit for his success, and I give shevach v'aritoh kadosh baruch Hu, that at least I didn't, which there's definitely something to. There's definitely something to not ruining a person, and that's what it says over here. Here, these two things that's causing harm, l'sholchav. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Yiras Hashem toisif yamim, u'shnos rishoyim tik tzarna. The fear of Hashem adds days, and the years of the evil takes away. Did I finish with the Rashi? Let's just make sure I did all the Rashis. Let's go back for one moment to the Rashis. Pasuk Hafei Ba. We looked at the previous pasuk. I knew that Rashi. Kavor Sufa in Rasha Pisan Ba Evras Ruach Sara Nikeres Harasha Bemukam. Suddenly comes the anger of a Ruach Sara, of a stormy wind, and Nichras Harash. The Rashi is cut off. Bemukam from his place. Rashi here eats into the pasuk in the previous pasuk of Kavor Sufa Pisan. Suddenness. When something suddenly happens, the Rasha is no longer. But the Tzaddik is the Yisrael Elam. This reminds of the Pasuk of Sefer Aleinu of Altira Mipachat Pisaim Umishoas Rishaim Ki Savo. And in fact, we had that Pasuk not so long ago, and that is a Pasuk that after 9/11, many of the Darshanim, one of the Darshanim, Rabbi Pesach Kron, he was very famous for this. He made a very powerful rosh for many people with this speech. This speech really resonated with many people of Al Tira Mipachat Pisom. You should focus on that pasuk, Mishoas Risham Kisavo. Not to succumb to Pachat. When Pachat Pisom, we have to have Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's certainly true for our times as well. Pasuk, so Pasuk Yud Aleph, we come now to Yiras Hashem, says of Yamim Shnas Yerusham Tiktzarna, and the years of the week will be made short. Rabbi Mitzvah's Pasuk of Zayin, Taisif Yamim, Remisha Oiches, but to a person that is Oiches takes hold of Yiras Hashem. Okay, the major theme of Mishlei over and over again is Yiras Hashem. Next words of the Pasuk Gishnos, Af Hashanim HaKetsuvim Lo Tiktzarna, Ki Poslim Lo Mehem, the years that have been set aside for the Rosh are shortened due to the wicked, due to his sins. That is a very famous Chazal, in Masechet Yom on this Pasuk. This Pasuk is used by the Gemara to contrast the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni in regards to the how many Kohanim Gedolim served during those years. How many Kohanim Gedolim lived in the year during the entire Tkuf of the Bayis Rishon? 18. 410 years. From 410 years, there was 18 Kohanim Gedolim. In the Bayis Sheni was 420 years. How many Kohanim Gedolim served? Over 300. And then when we deduct the Kohanim Gedolim that served for 40 years, 80 years, 10 years, 11 years, we're left with 100, approximately 260 years. And from 260 years, they were almost 300 Kohanim Gedolim, which means they did not survive. Why did they not survive? Because when they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they did not come out alive, or they died shortly thereafter. And the Chazal take note of the contrast between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Kohen Gadol is not just a private person. The Kohen Gadol represents the collective Yirah Shemaim of the nation. The Kohen Gadol is the spiritual leader, and his koyach is only as good as the koyach of Yirah Shemaim, as the community, as the tzibur. And it was assigned to Chazal that the major problem of the Bayis Sheni was there was a lack of Yirah Shemaim. Let me read you the Gemara Yom Daf Tesam Nalaf inside. Amar Rabba Babar Chonam Rabbi Yochanan. Maidich Siv. How do we understand Pshat in this Pasuk in Mishlei Perik Yud Pasuk Chav Zayin? Yiras Hashem Toysif Yamim. Ushnos Rishoyim Tiktzarna. Yiras Hashem Toysif Yamim. Zem Mikdash Rishoyim. The first half of the Pasuk refers to the tkuf of the Bayis Rishon. Sha'amad arba meos v'eser shanim, 410 years. And uvchol elu hashanim leshimshu boy el shmoina osar kohanim gedolim. There was not more than 18 kohanim gedolim. What? You have 8? Okay, I have 18. Okay, we have to look up the Gemara. It could be different yourselves. Why? Because they had the parish is because Shahoyu Yirei Hashem. They had Yirah Shamayim. It's not just that they had Yirah Shamayim. The door was a generation of Yirei Shamayim. Of course, there was sins. There was Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rais, all of those things. And that's why the Bais was Chorav. But overall, there was Yirah Shamayim. And when the second half of the Pasuk says, Ushnois, Risham, Tiktzarna, Zeh, Mikdash Sheni. And here the Gemara makes a calculation. Sha'omad arba meos v'esrim shana. It stood for 420 years. V'shimshu bo yoser mishloish meos kohanim. Say, deduct, mehem arboim shana shashime shimon hatzadik. From the 420 years, 40 years shimon hatzadik served. U'shmoinim 80 years. Shashimesh Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, soon will come into Chanukah. Bimei Matisyo ben Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. Okay, he served for 80 years. Eser deduct 10 years. Shashimesh Yishmoel ben Povi. And the Amilah, some said it was 11 years. Achas Esrei Shashimesh Rabbi Elozah ben Charsoim. Mikan Veil. So we're left with about 260 years. And during those 260 years, there were more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim. Kolechad V'yechad Lohitzi Shinoso. They did not live out their year. To fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, V'zehu U'shinos Rishoim Tiktzarna. Very scary Maimon Chazal. Now, I saw this from the Bali Musar. I don't remember where I saw this. Yeah?
The year of Shemaya, you get extra days.
Yeah.
The Russia loses years. And we draw a conclusion for that. In other words, the year of Shemaya...
Yamim, very good. Yamim, days.
The
For the Rasha, it's years.
They lose.
Okay, it's quality and quantity. For the tzaddikim, not only, I guess you have to assume that not only will there be quantity in the shanim, he'll even have quality. The days will count. Every day will make a difference. The rishoyim, not only do their days are meaningless, they're void of any value, they'll also lose out on the quantity of their of which is always defined in terms of years. So in Chanan, it's a very powerful diyuk. The tzaddikim, in addition, toisef, will add days. Days, which means in addition to the years, quality-wise, qualitatively, will also be significant. And the Rishonim have nothing. They don't have days, and they don't even have years. And another Chazal tells us, when it comes to, we went to discuss this before, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so we have, when a person, it's really, this idea really is alluded to in another Medrash. When a person is born, he has a mazel of how many years he's supposed to live. So let's say the mazel is he's supposed to live 80 years. And then he goes through a Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. And the person comes out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and he survives the whole year. Let's say for example, he's 20 years old and then a whole year passes and now he's 21 years old. So he says to himself, last year it was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I was 20 years old, it was a gzar din, mi yichya mi yamos. Will I live, will I die? I survived. So I can look back and I can say that last year, at the end of last year, Yom Kippur, I survived. I was zoyche bedin. But it's not the way it works. It's not a 1 year lease. Every year when a person goes to Yom HaDin, they reassess everything from the very beginning to the very end. He's 20 years old. They look at him, how many years do you have left to live? 60 years left to go. You were born with a mazel, with a bracha of 80 years. You're now 20 years old. What is your trajectory in life? Where are you going? What's your mahalach in life? You're not doing very well. So it could very well be on the Yom HaKippurim of when he was 20 years old, it was decided you're not going to make it to 80. You're only going to make it to 75. So on that Yom HaKippurim, he lost 5 years of his life. He's blind. Because when he's 21 years old, he's still alive and well. Everything is fine and good. So he thinks that last year he had a wonderful Yom HaKippurim because he came out ahead. He doesn't realize that he just lost 5 years because of the chatoim that he committed when he was between 19 and 20 that changed his whole derech in life and had a major effect upon his neshama. He's not going to make it to his end to 80 years old. On the other hand, you can have a person when he's only meant to live 40 years, and then when he comes to 20 years old, they and the Yom HaKippurim, they reassess his mahalach in life, and they decide, you know, this person is a very big tzaddik. He's done very good, he's done good deeds, he's learning Torah, his derech of chayim is very pleasing in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know what? We're going to extend his life. Instead of it only being that he's supposed to go 40 years, he's going to make it now to 70 years. So it comes out that he, on this day, gained 30 years. On that Yom HaKippurim, it wasn't just that it was nigzer upon him, okay, we'll renew your lease on life for 1 year. The nitzachon of what you have accomplished on Yom HaKippurim has earned you 30 years of life. That's what the pasuk means. The pasuk here says, Ush yiras Hashem toisif yamim. It's not that you're just going to get another year. Another year is not a hoisafa. You were meant to get that year from the moment you were born. Every person is born with a mazel, with a gzeir of how long he's supposed to live. But if you merit, you're going to get an extension on life. That's how some of the Bali Musar. Yes, that's what the Bali Musar say. I saw this in a thing say called Be'er Moshe, I think from Rav Moshe Shapiro. If I'm not mistaken, no, is it Moshe? No. It can't be a Moshe Shapiro. I don't remember. One of the popular Bali Musar, a person is reevaluated his entire life, his entire mahalach in life is reevaluated every year on the Yom HaDin, and they learn that, they connect that to some degree to this pasuk of Toisif Yamin. Okay, now there's another Chazal, there's a Medrash of Kohelis, it's a very strange Medrash, where the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu, not Moshe Rabbeinu, Omar Loy Rabbi Shimon Chalafta. It's a Devarim Rabbah. Rav Shimon Chalavta had a conversation with the Malach HaMoves. And he asked the Malach HaMoves, let's go to Yalkut Shmoni. It's all the same idea. Let's go to Yalkut Shmoni with David HaMelech. David HaMelech until him said, Todieni Oirachayim. Omar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yibayinu Shalaylam Hodieni Be'eze Piloin Mifulosh Lechayei Ho'olam Haba. Tell me a derech. Tell me the derech. The proper Piloin means, it means an open path, an open door to Chayei Ho'olam Haba. Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid Im Chayimatim Mevakesh. You want life? Tzfei L'yira. All you have to do is be a Yoresh Shemayim. Shenemar. And the Medrash quotes this pasuk: Yiras Hashem Toisif Yamim. The ultimate segula for Arichas Yamim, the ultimate school, the catch-all is Yiras Shemayim. It's nothing more than a pasuk, a Ferish pasuk, right here in Mishlei. Okay, one last Chazal. Last Chazal is the first pasuk in Yeshaya. The first pasuk Yeshaya begins Chazon Yeshayo ben Amotz Asher Chazab Imei. Uziyahu Yosam Ochoz Chizkiyahu Malchei Yehuda. Yeshayahu lived 120 years. He saw, how many kings did he serve under? He served under four kings. Uziyahu Yosam Ochoz Yechizkiyahu. He served under four kings. How was he zoche to serve as a prophet for four kings, to live 120 years? The Medrash says, Lama zoche lezeh, mibnei shahoya, yorei Hashem. Shenemar, yiras Hashem, toisif yamim. So the Medrash says, you want to see the proof is in the pudding, you want to see this true, go take a look at none other than Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu lived for 120 years, four kings. Let's go to the next pasuk chav. Let's try to finish the paragraph very quickly. You only keep looking left. We have 5 minutes. Pasuk chav ches. Techeles tzadikim simcha. The yearning of a tzadik is joy. V'sikvas rishoyim toivei. Mitzudas pasuk chav ches. Techeles tikvas tzadikim hiluchem l'simcha. Ki ba. It comes, what they yearn for comes, usmeichem himal al asher hayu mekavim la, and they take joy in what they yearn for. Avul tikvas harashom tia avuda v'loisavo does not arrive, umeitzar al ha-toicheles, and they have tsar for their yearning. So we have two words which mean yearning, tocheles and sikvas. They both mean the same thing. When it comes to the tzadikim, it's simcha. The yearning is simcha. The Mitzuda says on a very similar level, because it comes. What they yearn for arrives. So when they look back, it was a yearning that succeeded. And therefore they have simcha. But the Rasha, what he yearns for, never arrives, so it turns out it's nothing more than agmas nefesh. Pasuk chavs in the Mitzudos, tochel ha-tzadikim simcha, soifa miskayemes, usmechem, it's miskayemes, what they yearn for comes. But if it's sikra shem, soifa ki lo, so it does not come. The Bali Musa give another interpretation to this pasuk, is that the yearning itself is simcha. Even if it does not come. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yamitz libecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. Yearn for Hashem. Just the yearning alone itself is a source of simcha, source of inspiration, even though it does not come. In fact, most people, they don't get what they want. They live a life yearning for Mashiach, animame, v'mashim, v'yashchich, v'avaki, sh'yismameya, im kol zeh, achakele, b'chol yom sh'yavo. How many people have yearned for Mashiach to come and has not come in their lifetimes? How many people have already died and Mashiach has not come? Yet, the yearning itself was a source of simcha and joy for the person, even though it did not come. However, a rasha who has nothing truly to look forward to, his yearning is not the yearning of kedusha. It's not a yearning that will result, if it will be fulfilled for of kedusha and simcha. The yearning itself is just agmas nefesh and daigus and suffering, because they're not yearning for things which will bring them any satisfaction. Okay, next pasuk mo'oz latom derech Hashem. Mo'oz means a stronghold. A stronghold latom derech Hashem. Let's read the words backwards, that the derech Hashem person that goes on the derech Hashem, it is for a tom, for a tzaddik, a wholesome person, a mo'oz. It is his stronghold. Emuna is a person's guide, stronghold in life, strength in life. On the other hand, Mechita, it is a source of destruction. The fact that a Rasha does not follow on the Derech Hashem, his Derech instead turns into a force, source of destruction, Lepoali of those that do evil. Mitzudas Pasuk Teschav Tes Ma'os, Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem, L'chozek, serves as strength, L'ish Tam, because he follows on this path of life, the heel lemachta, but this same path that he does, that is not followed by the rasha, is a source of lemachta, destruction, the shever, and breaking. Al asher they did not milamede zuchus al hatoim. The derech Hashem is a maos; it's milamed zuchus for the wholesome. The choiva al harashoim, but it is a source of choiva for the wicked. Rashi pasuk haftes mos lotoim derech Hashem machta he lepoliaven sheeinen holchem ba vehi nefras mehem. Their evil deeds itself punish them. The evil, the rasha is always does himself in.
He
destruction, shever, ruin, breaking, destruction. It is the derech of Hashem. The fact that they have not followed on the derech Hashem, this is the source of destruction for the poali oven. The mitzvah says that the derech Hashem is melamed choiva. It goes before Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah goes before Kadosh Baruch Hu and complains to Hashem that the Rasha should be destroyed because they have neglected Hashem's ways. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk lamet tzaddik le'olam bal yimot. The tzaddik will never falter. Urshayim lo yishkenu ar aretz, but the rasha will not live long in the land. Lamet b'mitzudas le'olam af im humot, even if he falters, even if he turns aside, lo le'olam. The point over here is it's not forever. Ultimately, a tzaddik will recover. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. A tzaddik may fall down 7 times, but the tzaddik will ultimately rise again. That's exactly what it says over here. Tzaddik lo'olam bal yimot. Mitzuda says, it happens. Tzaddikim do indeed suffer. They do indeed fall, but it's not lo'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately come to their rescue. We say in benching, nar ho'yisi, gam zokanti, v'loy re'isi tzaddik ne'ezov, v'zaro mevakesh lochem. What do you mean? But we do see that tzaddikim, they suffer. We do see tzaddikim that are nezav zaravakesh lochem. That's why we begin the pasuk with nar hoyisi v'gam zokanti. I was a nar, the sar shel olam is speaking. This is an angel that exists from the beginning of time to the end of time. And it's true that there may be pockets of time where tzaddikim suffer, that tzaddikim suffer for periods of time, but when you look at the big picture of things from the beginning of time to the end of time, it's not going to happen. Ultimately, the tzaddik will prevail. Nar ho'yisi v'gam zakanti, it's not le'olam. It may be so that they are going through periods of time when they have to go down because of hester panim, but they will rise once again. That same idea here is parallel in this pasuk. Af im humot le'olam yimu. Ki yachzor v'yakom yimot, the test change yimot ki yachzor v'yakom lo yishkenu l'zman meruba, they will not lie down on the ground, they will not lie down in meruba af im shaitem etzlaches hilufisha rishoyim, they may be successful but their success is short lived. Pasuk lamed aleph. Apostles, Pasuk Lam and Rashi, Tzadik Lilam Lobalimot, Geshu Mot, Ein Motoso, Muad Lolam, it's not forever, Kiipol, Vukam, he falls, but he rises once again. Okay, let's do the last second very quickly. Pete Tzadik Yonov Chachmo, the mouth of Tzadik Yonov, it speaks, it murmurs. A Navi comes from this word. Why is a Navi called a prophet? Nivuv Sifasayim. The murmuring of lips. So here we have that word here as well, Yanuf Chachma, the mouth of the tzaddik, it murmurs with wisdom. Uleshoin ta'puchos tikares, but the tongue of duplicity. This refers to the Rasha who speaks double talk. Yitikares, it will be cut off, it will be silenced. Last pasuk lamed beis, sif say tzaddik yedun ratzon, the lips of the tzaddik, they know how to bring forth goodwill from Hashem. They know how to get what they want from Hashem. They know how to be mefayis Hashem. Ufi Rishayim, ta'apuchos, but the mouth of the Rasha will be overturned. Their lips will be destroyed. They not only do not know how to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their lips will be silenced because they are evil. Mitzudas pasik lamed aleph lamed beis lamed aleph yanuv ratzolay ma be'im epiv yuchlal chachma, through their words of the mouth yuchlal chachma musar, it will be I don't know what does it mean yuchlal. It will be expressed. I'm not sure what the word yuchlal is. Exchange. Yanuv. Klal. Klal will be included. Chochma Musar. Umiramis Loimar. Shepi Tapuchos Tikores Ratzaloimar. Hamahapi Chochma Satora Yuchras. The one that takes Torah and perverts Torah and corrupts Torah, those lips will be cut off. Lamed beis yedin ratzon yedim, a tzaddik knows how to be meratzah Hashem. Yedim l'ratzos l'Hashem tapuchos musav al yedun loymar yedun tapuchos. According to the mitzudos, this means upirisham yedun tapuchos l'habich tva Hashem. They know how to pervert Hashem. They know how to take Hashem's words and to corrupt them. Ki kol askam bezeh, that's what they do. Their entire occupation is to take Hashem's words and to mahapich them. For hurgulul bedavar, and they're accustomed to this matter. Rashi pasuk lamed ala pitzadik yidavchach yidaber lashon nifs yidaber. The word yanuv means to speak. Lashon nifsef asan, the murmuring of lips. Lamed beis sif said tzadik yedun yiratzon yodim l'ratzon l'faisan baram. We know about Pesach Kodesh Baruch Hu. The yodim l'ratzon sabrios, and they also know how to speak politely, pleasantly to people. Ulahatil shalom beinehem, and to bring peace. But the pi of the Rishon tapuchos, they just know how to make trouble. They just know how to take Torah and to turn it upside down. They know how to cause a lot of trouble in this world. Okay, and the one medrash here I want to point out to you is that a tzaddik, that lama David daimel l'secha kushi. The Gemara talks about David, that tzaddikim, they know how to be mefayis Hashem. Gives a mashal, compares it to a secher kushi. What is secher kushi? You come to a person, a salesman, a car salesman. Okay? A car salesman. You come to a person, and he says, he comes to your house, and he says, can you do me a favor, can you give me, they ask you a little bit of water. If you ask a person, you knock on a person, can you give me a gourmet meal? It's like, get out of here, you sugar. You're coming, you're begging, you want to hear a gourmet meal, you're out of your mind. But if a beggar comes and knocks on your door and says, can you give me some water, please? Okay, water, okay. So you take a plastic cup and you give him some water. Then he says, oh, you're getting some water. You know, maybe you can give me an onion. An onion, in the bottom of your refrigerator, there's a rotten onion. A little flavor for the water. All right, I'll give you an onion. And the next thing he says, you know, the onion is so bitter. I need some bread to take away the bitterness of the onion. Okay, I'll give you a piece of bread. Some bread, a little dip. I want something to dip the bread into. Oh, once you give me a side dish, you can give me the main course. Why do I have to sit outside? Take me inside. You know, once you're doing the mitzvah, you might as well do it right. You might as well give me a few more courses, give me dessert, and so on and so forth. Same thing, tzaddikim, they know how to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They first start off asking Kadosh Baruch Hu small things. And then they build up, they make greater and greater requests. Tefillah is an art. You can't come before Kadosh Baruch Hu and make demands. You have to go in steps. There are stages, there are steps. There's a mahalich in tefillah. That's the message of this medrash. The person should not abuse his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in stages with their cheretz. First, their cheretz to ask for small things. And then to build up your relationship, then you can come and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for big things. And this is what it means. Sif Sei Tzadik Yedun Rotzon. They know how to speak, how to speak properly to create goodwill with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And goodwill only comes when you have a relationship of Derech Eretz with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're up to Perek Yud Aleph.
It's the mic. It has to be the mic because it's changed.
Yeah. while I'm talking?
All right. Yes, because of some of the insulation or whatever inside the.
It was good, the last carbon content was good. Sometimes.
Is it Zalman or Aaron?
Bob of one, Bob of two.
Even over there,
shine. Land won't rest because of the
shine.
Hurricanes.
Very good. Excellent. This is going to be the gladder parish on Mishle.
I just thought of that, that's a form of punishment. Climate change.
Why did Abraham stop at 10?
10. I don't know.
Should have gone all the way down to 1.
Maybe the difference for the oil in the world and one specific location. The city, the world the world exists in one side, but a city, a makom, you need 10 tzaddikim. I don't know. The tzaddik yisoid olam. So who's the tzaddik? Who is the tzaddik yisoid olam today that the world's living in? How do you know? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Who is the tzaddik, Mr. Rapport? Do you have any candidates?
Think about it. Look in the mirror. What's your problem?
He's supposed to say it's my wife. It has to be a man? Does it have to be a man?
Mrs. Dog Tzadik for today is a lady in Modin who organized buses to take Haredi people from Shalim to the Galil, to and they also quoted the Rabbi Yosef.
Yeah.
He said that if a soldier, even if he's a Druzi, who dies for duty, you should make him, you should pay a hashkava and a shul for him. Like
Sadiq Mosai. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What happened? Is it unbelievable?
It happened in the yeshiva, 3-4 years ago?
Merkos Haraf. Merkos Haraf.
That was in 2008?
6 years ago.
Wow. It seems like 2-3 years ago. So in the Hebron Yeshiva it happened in 1929 and there was no state, there was no occupied territory.
That was before the Holocaust.
As a matter of fact, there was one boy from Chicago that was killed from the Hebron massacre.
Yeah. Because the yeshiva. Now it's gone.